From Luke chapter 15 and from verse 24, where it says they began to celebrate the return of the prodigal son from his time in the far country. The father has welcomed him home. Verse 25, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. And never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. And we give thanks to the living God for his word to us this morning. May he bless it in our lives. And we'll stand together and join in prayer again. Now let's return to this parable, and I hope that it is still fresh as you read it and still full of wonders. This past week I was visiting someone who doesn't have a church background, and I told them, I said, I'm preaching just now on the parable of the prodigal son. And I told them the story. I just told them the story of the prodigal son and the parable. I suppose I kind of filled it out a wee bit, because what we have here is undoubtedly a summary of the story as Jesus would have told it. And at the end they said to me, I've never heard that before. Never heard that before. That is the most wonderful story. And I thought, that's thrilling. You know, just that Jesus' stories are being received today as they would have been received when he told them, as the most wonderful stories. Stories of forgiveness. Stories true to life. Stories for our lives today. Now we've been concentrating this last week, and we're going to concentrate again this week, on the older brother. And maybe you've read the older brother, the account of the older brother's response to the forgiveness of his younger brother, and the fact the younger brother was, of course, a disgrace to the family, and the younger brother had squandered much of the family wealth, and the younger brother had brought grief to the father, and the older brother had seen all this, and the older brother was angry, and the older brother didn't want to speak to his younger brother, didn't want to forgive his younger brother, thought it was unforgivable what he'd done, and is absolutely outraged when his father forgives him and receives him back home. Maybe you've read the story and thought, well, I don't see anything wrong with what the older brother did. Seems to me to be a pretty right reaction. The younger brother deserves contempt, and the father ought not to have been so ready to receive him back. Well, remember that what Jesus is doing in telling this story is answering a situation that's introduced at the beginning of the chapter, where Jesus is being surrounded by the kind of dregs of his society. They're delighting to hear his teaching, but the sort of righteous people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, are angry, and they're saying, this man welcomes sinners and he even eats with them. And the reason Jesus tells the parable is to challenge the attitude of the Pharisees and to say, you know, what is wrong with me eating with sinners? What is wrong with me welcoming those who have made a mess of their lives? And that's what the older brother in the story is about. It's about challenging us to think, well, what is wrong with Jesus welcoming sinners? What is wrong with Jesus forgiving people? And if we think that the older brother is okay, and that the older brother is responding in the right way, then there's something wrong with the way we're thinking. Because clearly Jesus is teaching in this parable that the older brother is the real villain of the story. And you might find it difficult to get that. I know it is quite difficult to get. It's quite difficult to get why the older brother is so wrong. And it probably is that we find it difficult because our sympathy is with him, and not with the father and the repentant younger brother. Our sympathy is with the Pharisees, and not with Jesus and the sinners. Our sympathy is with the person who's been wronged, and the person who has been shamed and disgraced by someone else. Our sympathy is with them when they're angry, and when they're wanting to take a stand and build walls and say, no, I can't forgive. I can't have this person back into my life because of all they've done to me. Our sympathy is with that person. Like I said to the children, we've forgotten what it's like to fall out, make up, move on. We've forgotten what it's like to keep relationships open. That we understand all too well as adults what it is to hold grudges and to take a stand, a righteous stand, against those who've wronged us, and to refuse to budge. Well, may God open our eyes this morning. May he open our eyes to understand why the older brother is so wrong. We've already thought about this last week. We thought about the older brother's sense of justice and his dutifulness, and how he thinks he's such a special person because of that. I want to talk about three more things today. I want to talk about his sense of, about his standards. I want to talk about his pride. I want to talk about his resentment. His standards. The older brother has standards. In his own view, he has standards. He's a person with principles. And he measures other people by his principles. And they don't stand up to his scrutiny often. But the older brother's not into forgiveness. He's not into mercy. And so because he's a man of standards, but not merciful, he's quite an austere person. People don't find him easy to get on with, especially if they attract his criticism. Now that means that the older brother needs forgiveness. He needs forgiveness because he judges by his own standards. And when he judges by his own standards, even his father fails under those standards, because his father is lenient and his father is merciful. And the father is grieved in this story at the older brother, because the older brother is passing judgment on the father. The older brother's standards don't approve of the father's behavior. And so the older brother needs forgiveness for judging the father. The father here in the story, as we've already said many times, represents God. The older brother is passing judgment on the father, and the father, as a result, finds it impossible to be close to his older son, because his older son is building walls all the time between himself and people around him, including his father. Now, when we judge by our own standards, we need forgiveness. You might think, I want you to think about that. Maybe think about it later, after we've finished here. Go home and think about that. When you judge by your own standards, you will always need forgiveness. Because if you judge by your own standards, you will always get it wrong. Because you will end up judging God. Because his standards are not your standards. You will always end up saying, why does God do that in my life? The church did that, for example, when God brought Saul of Tarsus into the family of Christian believers. The church was saying as much as, why did God do that? We wouldn't have brought Saul of Tarsus in. He's the man that was killing us. He's the man that was persecuting us. So when we judge by our own standards and not God's standards, we will inevitably end up committing sin and needing forgiveness. But maybe you're saying to yourself, but Roddy, what other standards can I judge by than by my own standards? I have to judge by my own standards. Well, have you checked that your standards are God's standards? The older brother's got his standards, but they're not his father's standards. The older brother has his father's justice, but he doesn't have his father's mercy. And the older brother's standards, therefore, fall short of his father's standards because he lacks mercy. And he commits sin by judging his father for showing mercy. And we commit sin when we judge God when he is merciful. And when he acts in ways that we don't approve of. And so the older brother's standards blind him. They blind him to his own sins because he's judging by his standards, not the father's standards. The older brother will say things like, well, you know, we're all sinners. Because his standards say that's the sort of thing he ought to say. We're all sinners. But then the older brother doesn't know what his own sins are. Because he's judging by his own standards and he's judging himself and he thinks, I'm fine, everyone else is wrong. We're all sinners, you may say. That's what we were brought up to believe in the free church. We're all sinners. But then you go off and judge by your own standards and not God's standards. So you let yourself off the hook. You can't see your own sins if you judge by your own standards. God is not asking you to judge by your standards. He's asking you to judge by his standards. The older brother has no sympathy for those whose sins he can see. He can see the faults in others. There's no excuse for that, he says, about other people's behavior. And he distances himself from those he disapproves of. And his younger brother is an outrage to him. He turns over in his head time and time again what his younger brother has done and the disgrace he's brought and the hurt he's brought to his father and so on. And as he does so, he's putting his younger brother down and he's making himself feel better about his own standards. He's bolstering his own sense of right and increasing his grievance until there's a huge gulf between them. There's a huge wall between them. And so, of course, when the younger brother comes back, there's going to be trouble. In fact, the older brother's like a volcano just waiting to erupt. In verse 28, it says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And the father's forgiveness of the younger brother just adds further fuel to the furnace, to the volcano, if you like. Well, who needs to change in this story? Is it the father? Does the father need to change? Does the father need to become more austere and more hard on his younger son? No. We're glad of the father's forgiveness, surely. We must be. Because it gives the younger boy a new chance, a new hope. And it also will give the older brother new hope if the older brother realizes he's not been very good. He's not been very nice. And he needs the father's forgiveness. When he comes back home, when he finally comes in, the father will forgive him too. No, we need to be glad of the father's forgiveness. It's the older brother that needs to change. When we judge by our own standards, we make ourselves seem good and others seem bad. We seem very righteous to ourselves as older brothers or older sisters, if you like. But Jesus is saying, look, it's not your standards that you'll be judged by. It's God's standards. And God's standards have justice. But more importantly, they have mercy. So, don't be proud of your own standards. Seek to see things through God's eyes, not by your own standards. Let's talk about pride. The older brother is proud of his behavior. Verse 29, he says, look, I've been slaving, he says, I've never disobeyed. You know, he's full of himself, and the father seems so unreasonable to him. You never gave me a young goat. And so on. He says to himself, you know, my daddy makes me a slave, I work so hard, and I do what he asks me to do. He issues orders, I never disobey, but he never gives me even a kid, a young goat. And yet when my younger brother comes home, having squandered everything, he kills a fattened calf for his favourite. Well, what is it that the older brother is actually saying here? He's saying, you know, you're being really generous to my younger brother when he doesn't deserve it. I do deserve it. I've earned my rewards. He's proud of how he's earned his rewards. But you see, this is a family. A son ought not to have to earn things from his father. And in God's kingdom, we don't earn God's blessings. We don't earn God's favors. The father isn't going to give to his son because he's earned. The father says in verse 31, everything I have is yours. If you want it, it's yours. Not because you've worked hard. Not because you've been a dutiful son. But because I love you. You don't get things because you've earned them. You get them because I love you. Because I'm good. You know, if the father is willing to kill a fattened calf for his younger son who's been such a disgrace, he's certainly going to be willing to give a kid and far more to the older brother. But the older brother's too proud to ask. He's too proud to ask for anything. What he wants is wages. He wants what he deserves. And as far as he's concerned, he deserves a lot more than the younger brother. The younger brother deserves contempt. Let me ask you here, do you want to earn from God or do you want to ask from God? Do you want to earn or do you want to ask? If we're too proud, then we will say, well, I want to earn. I want to get what I deserve. But that would be okay if we deserved. The older brother doesn't deserve, and his attitude here is quite clear proof of that. He doesn't approve of his father's good character. He doesn't approve of his father's mercy and forgiveness. He falls far short of his father, in fact. And so do we. We fall far short of God, the living Father. We can never get blessings from God because we deserve them, because we've earned them. Only because we ask. Only because we ask his favour and we ask his mercy, like the younger brother did. We need forgiveness, not wages. We need forgiveness. And it is the glory of the Father to forgive. Isn't it wonderful that the Father here is forgiving? It's wonderful for the younger brother. It'll be wonderful for the older brother if he realizes how far away from the Father he is and how he too needs forgiveness. See, justice and condemnation are far too easy. It's easy to be just. It's easy to be proud of your standards and to exact condemnation on others and to criticize and to find fault. It's easy. That doesn't require any sacrifice. That doesn't require any effort. Mercy is hard. Mercy is the great thing. Forgiveness is difficult. There's nothing to be proud of if you're just and you have standards and you can find fault with others through your standards. That's nothing to be proud of. That's easy. Anyone can do that. What about mercy? Forgiveness. Now that is difficult. It is the glory of the Father, not that he's just. He is just. It's the glory of the Father that he's forgiving. Forgiveness is hard. For God to forgive us is hard. God had to send his only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sins. That's hard. Condemnation is easy. Passing judgment is easy. Being proud of our standards and finding fault with others is easy. But God is merciful. God is forgiving. And that's hard. And if we're proud just of our standards and how we can find fault with others so easily, we're missing something very, very, very important. The mercy of God. The older brother is pitting his own character against his father's character. He's saying, "Dad, I don't approve of what you've done." Well, the older brother is doing something very easy. He's refusing to forgive. It's easy to do that. The father is doing the hard thing. The father is the one to be commended. What right does the older brother have to be indignant? Would we get indignant? Would we get indignant with the Father, with God, forgiving sinners? That's easy. But actually it's a sin. It's a sin for which we need forgiveness. We need God not to be just towards us. We need his forgiveness. Let's speak briefly about resentment as well. Because the older brother has come to that place through his justice, his duty, his standards, his pride. He's come to a place of resentment. He resents the younger brother being shown mercy. He resents his father's forgiveness. He's acting here like someone who thinks he's the judge of who can be forgiven and who can't be. And he'd like not to be forgiven. He'd like to get what he deserves. But he doesn't realize that because he's judging his father and passing judgment on his father's forgiveness, he doesn't deserve good either. Older brother, if you are truly deserving, then you don't need forgiveness. The point of forgiveness is that you don't deserve it. If it's deserved, then it's not forgiveness. The younger brother's never going to deserve forgiveness. And left to him, older brother, he would never have it. He'd be hopeless. He's offended you. And you resent him being welcomed back. But he's offended the father far more, hasn't he? And yet the father has forgiven him. So the father has a bigger heart than you, older brother. He has a bigger heart. Greater mercy. Greater forgiveness. So, see then how the great heart of the Father is grieved when our hearts are smaller, when our hearts will not forgive those whom God does forgive. When, like the older brother, we disapprove of the Father, we disapprove of God because he has been merciful to those we think do not deserve it. Well, if we're like that, we need forgiveness too. We too need mercy. Let's try and let that sink in this morning. Just for different reasons. Yes, the younger brother needs mercy for all the usual stuff. He's had wild living. He's gone off and squandered the family riches. Well, we recognise that's wrong. But it's also wrong to think that we're always right. It's also wrong to disapprove of things like forgiveness and mercy and making up and moving on. When we forget what we did when we were children, how when we did fall out, we sorted things out again and we moved on. It's wrong for us to hold grudges and to build walls like the older brother is. It's wrong for us to hold grudges and to harden our hearts and to become angry. That's wrong. Let that sink in. If you can't rejoice in God's forgiveness of others, then you too need forgiveness. For condemning God for forgiving. But then you might say, well, you know, I've never I've never gone and squandered the wealth. I've never gone into wild living. I try to be a good Christian, but God seems to prefer prodigals. This is one of the things I think the older brothers grieved at. This is so unfair. It's not like I'm asking for much. All I'm asking for, he's saying, is just a kid from my friends, a goat from my friends. It's not like I'm asking much. You seem to prefer this disgrace of a son of yours. No, it's not like that. You see, God doesn't prefer prodigals. It's just that the prodigal comes for forgiveness and the older brother doesn't. If the older brother went for forgiveness, the older brother would receive forgiveness too. God's forgiveness is big enough for older brothers and younger brothers. It's just the younger brothers, the prodigals, actually go and seek it. The tax collectors and the sinners in verse 1 go and seek it when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law do not in verse 2. God would forgive you, and he'd forgive anyone who would come to him seeking his forgiveness and his mercy. And maybe we all need to find that out for ourselves more fully. And you say to yourself, well, you know, I'm sure the older brother, he'll come round eventually and he'll forgive, I'm sure, and he'll be forgiven. Well, will he? See, that's the whole point of the parable. Jesus doesn't tell us what happens to him. He just says, well, what's going to happen? If you're the older brother, what are you going to do now? Will you come round? Will you seek forgiveness? Will you forgive yourself? That's the point of the parable. And that's where Jesus leaves you and me this morning. With our standards, with our justice, with our dutifulness, with our pride, he says to us, well, you have all these things, but do you have my mercy? Do you know my mercy? Do you know my forgiveness? Do you know how much you need it yourself? And are you prepared to show that mercy and forgiveness yourself? This is a challenge of the parable of the prodigal son. And it is a challenge that I need to hear. We all need to hear. And may God help us to respond to his mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to close in the Red Book, Psalm 32, and the first 7 verses. And this tells us what happens when an older brother refuses to seek forgiveness for his sins. He keeps silent, verse 3, and he just gets worn out. It wears us out to keep trying to be righteous, more righteous than others, as it were, to pass judgment on others. But when we come for forgiveness, we lay bare our sin, God forgives. You forgave when I confessed. You pardoned all my sin. We'll sing verses 1 to 7, and let's stand to do so. Psalm 32.
Who's dead?
Son and Holy Spirit go with you, rest upon you, and work in you now and always.